We talk about heaven. There's a little sense of misunderstanding, but we continue to say it the same way. Maybe you picked up on a little bit of me trying not to say it wrong this morning and talking about heaven. But you know, when we pass away, the Bible, you know, Paul said it's better to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, where is the Lord? Lord's in heaven. He said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet him in the air, so shall we ever be with him. That presence with Jesus. And so we get this idea about heaven. Stephen was stoned and he looked up and he saw Jesus on the right hand of the Father. We think about heaven, we talk about heaven, and right now, if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven. If we were to be raptured right now, we'd go to heaven. That is the place right now. But some of the songs we sing, I noticed in those first two songs, it talked about looking into God's face. And then that other one, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. We sing these songs, and lots of songs are written. And we take a lot of what we call artistic liberty, right? We stretch it just a little bit. We draw a picture. We tell a story according to our imagination. And unfortunately, that's not always biblical. You know, like the streets of gold. We'll read in the Bible the reference to that street of gold. But those are the little things. And you say, well, Pastor, does it really matter? Well, I mean, I just like us to be biblically educated. You know, is it going to change what we talk about? Well, I mean, if you die now, you go to heaven. That's not going to change. We're still going to say, died and gone to heaven. But in understanding eternity, we have to see what the Bible says about where we'll spend eternity, because we won't spend eternity in heaven. It's just not biblically accurate. In Revelation 20, in verse number 7, we'll do a lot of reading tonight because that's how we learn the most, is what did God say? Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, won't that be great? If the rapture came today, we're still a long way off from the end, aren't we? You know, we got the 7 years of tribulation. We got these battles, and then we got this 1,000 years of Satan being loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations, these nations here on earth, which are in the four quarters of the earth. Don't forget, while all the saved will be pulled out with the rapture, there will then be a commission of the two prophets and two witnesses and the 144,000 evangelists. So all these are going out reaching people for Jesus that they would be saved. And so there's going to be a revival, a resurgence of what we consider to be church activity or Christian activity, because the church will be drawn out as it is at that moment, will be drawn out. And so Satan is here deceiving the nations on the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, to the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. So again, where are those witnesses? They're in Jerusalem. Where are the 144,000? They are Jews. And so the concentration, again, while it went out with the apostles around the world, the concentration, the focus of Christianity comes right back to Israel at this time. And that's where the 144,000 are. That's where the two witnesses are. They'll still have technology and satellite and all that kind of stuff, I imagine, where they're able to see what's going on the other end of the world. And so it's likely that there will be salvations beyond Israel. Excuse me. But he talks about the camp of the saints. There's a concentration of saints in that beloved city, Jerusalem. The fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured the enemies who surrounded the city. And that's just something to imagine as we think about Jerusalem. We think about all the saints being gathered there and all the armies gathering against them. And then God just destroys them. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. That's it right there, guys. We win. That old devil, Slewfoot, that one who's been haunting us and aggravating us and tempting us and wooing us and using all kinds of distractions and attention getters, will be gone. That's it. In the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet already are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So let's talk about hell real quick. This lake of fire again. I go again, right? That's not hell. That's a lake of fire. Death and hell cast into the lake of fire. It's a whole new place. And they'll be tormented until they burn up. No, forever and ever. So he's telling us here it's eternal. It's everlasting. And I saw, verse 11, a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. So here we have this great white throne. We have God on the throne, and the books were opened. What books? 66 of them right there. What books? This is the test. This is the study guide. This is what we have to prepare for judgment. Now, of course, you say, but Pastor, do we really need the whole book? Yes, we need the whole book. We need the Old Testament to tell us why we're fallen. We need the Ten Commandments to tell us that we're fallen. We need John to tell us that he that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. We need the whole counsel of God. We need the Gospel of John to tell us that he that believeth not is condemned already, but that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We need Paul to tell us that the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We need all of it. And so we're judged out of the books. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So did we live by that? Well, hold on a second. Remember that this judgment here is the lost. This judgment here is not for the saved. This judgment here is about the sins, about the violations that they have committed against God, the trespass, the offenses, everything they've ever done wrong. From the first time that little lion baby screamed like he was dying and he was just hungry. Every lie, right? That's every lie, every theft, every cheat, every disguise, everything they did that was not honest, true, and transparent, and godly is judged. Aren't you glad you're not going to have to stand there and answer for every sin you committed? Everyone. Everything. According to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He's got two books. He's got the books, and then he's got the book of life. And he looks in that book, and the name's not there. You see, the Bible also talks about a book of the living. But this is not this. The book of the living is everybody that's alive. But the book of life is everyone that believes. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, our name is written in that book. And you see, here's the thing. If you were to get there at this judgment of the great white throne, he could look in that book and see your name. You wouldn't be there. He'd say, you don't belong here. And of course, we know that won't happen. But he'd say, you don't belong here. Yours is somewhere else. But this is for everyone that doesn't believe. And if your name is not written in the book of life, did it say if their sins were too heavy? Didn't say that. It said if their name wasn't written, they were cast in the lake of fire. That's the great white throne judgment. Look at chapter 21, verse 8, if you will. The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's it. For those who don't believe This is, we talked this morning about our lives, right? About that book, about writing our story, and maybe there's some pages left, and maybe there are a whole bunch of pages, and we've got chapters left to write. But for those that don't believe, this is the final paragraph. For those who reject God, this is the final paragraph to the story of who they are. They have their part in the lake of fire, which shall burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 21, if you will. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Anybody know why that happened? Global warming. I knew you would know the answer. That's it. That's exactly why. Global warming. This is the part that we don't understand. You know, I know that as most of you were growing up, we used to have all these drills and all these lectures about, the catastrophe that Russia was going to bomb us and nuclear fallout and we're all going to die. But if you hide under your desk, you'll be safe, right? So we'd get under that little desk and hide because nuclear fallout couldn't get you under that desk. And so we talk about all that stuff. I remember being in school and the teacher was talking about it and I said, that's nothing to be concerned about. Well, how do you know? I said, because the Bible tells us how it's all going to end. The Bible tells us we're not going to destroy the earth with nuclear fallout because God's going to destroy the earth. The Bible tells me that when we're done, there's going to be a rapture, and so it's not going to happen between now and then. And then there's going to be tribulation. By the way, some of what he describes in Great Tribulation could be nuclear fallout. But then there's still, even after those 7 years, there's still another 1,000 years. There's no way that what we do to the earth, again, I like clean air and clean water, so please be, let's be conscientious, good stewards of the earth. But it's not going to go away. It's not going to be destroyed. It's still going to be here at least another 1,000 years. But then, you're going to wipe it out. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the earth will melt with a fervent heat. And so global warming is not far off. It's real. And it's going to melt with a fervent heat and everything will be dissolved. And so whatever we've saved and built, we can know this. Jesus said, let your treasures be in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt because here it will. And so he said, the old heaven and the old earth were passed away and there was no more sea, no more sea, no more sea, no more separation, no more division. And so there would be a new earth. Verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I look at that and I think of that and I know what God used in the Old Testament and he told Moses how to build it and what he used when Solomon built it. And I look at that Jerusalem rock, as they say, and I see it shiny and glimmering and I see the gold and it's shiny and glimmering and I see the pearlesque gates, the pearls, the gates of pearl, as he says, and I see that and the crystal. I see all this beautiful stuff in New Jerusalem. That pure river that flows out of it. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. And the best John could come up with to describe it so it would translate is like a bride on her wedding day, adorned for her husband. Just wonderful. And I heard a voice, a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Where? On the earth, on the new earth. He will dwell with them and they shall be his people and God himself shall be with them, and he'll be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We sing a song, don't we? No tears in heaven. Well, there'll be some tears for him to wipe away, but after he wipes away those tears in eternity on the new earth, they'll be wiped away, they'll be gone. No more crying, no more sorrow, no more death, neither shall there be any more pain. Praise the Lord. For the former things are passed away. Everything's passed away. Look at verse 5. I love this verse. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That'd be great. A new heaven, a new earth, a new body, a new life for eternity. All things knew. Verse 9, there came to me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials of the full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain on the earth, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending from out of heaven from God. Where? To the new earth. Having the glory of God. And her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Again, he's describing, he didn't say it was jasper, he said like jasper. He's saying it's beautiful. And it had a wall great and high, had 12 gates. The gates, at the gates, 12 angels. The names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The east three gates, the north three gates, south three gates, west three gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. The city lieth four square, the length as large as the breadth. He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. He measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. And again, an angel looks like what? A man, right? Not winged, but a man. Verse 18, the building of the wall of it was of jasper. There it is. Oh, it is jasper. The other one, it said like jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. Just beautiful. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, sixth sardius, seventh chrysolite, eighth beryl, ninth topaz, tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th adjacent, 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. See that? Pearls. Pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Yes, ma'am. Well, what you're looking at is the new Jerusalem. This is the, well, that's what you're looking at. That's what you're seeing. Okay, well, what you're seeing is new Jerusalem. And so, and he goes on here and he says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And I will answer your question, Lisa. I'll answer it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. So we don't need a sun or a moon. Why? Because it's a new earth. Look at what he says. Let's go back to creation. In the beginning, God said what? Let there be light. And there was light. When did he create the sun? Later. When did he create the moon? Later. When did he create stars? Later. He doesn't need that. He gave it. He gave authority to the sun. He gave authority to the moon for their positions. But God doesn't need help. He is the light thereof. And the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. The nations, look at verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. Now here we are, look, we're past the tribulation, we're past the rapture, we're past tribulation, we're past 1,000 years. We're in eternity, we've got a new heaven and a new earth. New Jerusalem has come down out of heaven onto the earth. And yet what do we see? We still see nations. We still see kings. We still see peoples. What people? Saved people. Why? Because that's all that's around now. Everything else is gone. Those who were lost were cast in the lake of fire. So the only ones who are around at this point are believers of all nations. Okay, so that answers your question. All nations. And the gates of it shall not be shut. What are the gates for? The gates are to keep people out. And protect those that are within, but there won't be any gates. And it shall not be shut all by day, and there shall be no night there. No night. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations. Again, nations, ethnicities, different people, different populations, but all saved. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but who? They which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hey, is your name written in the book? then you're included. So it's for all those who have their name written in the book of life. Where is everybody else? Well, here's a real simple answer. If their name's not in the book of life, they've already been cast in the lake of fire. So the population of the earth, this new earth at that point, are just saved, are just the saved. But, and I know this is not mind-blowing. It's not really new if you've studied the book of Revelation. But sometimes what happens is in our Baptistic traditional mind, we always think eternity equals heaven. But we just saw that that's not where we are in the Bible. We're in earth. New Jerusalem is on earth. Where is God? He's there too. New Jerusalem. So we see that everything's changed. Look at 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where's that? Where's that? Again, New Jerusalem. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now notice, he didn't say trees, he said the tree. So here's this broad, beautiful tree, and it just shadows over everything, which bear 12 manner of fruits, not a singular fruit, all manner of fruits, 12 manner of fruits. And so think about that. There is this, go back to the Garden of Eden. And he said, you can eat anything you want to, but leave that tree alone. Don't mess with that tree. They could have, can you imagine going to a tree and you just decide what you want? You want a pear or an apple or an orange or what do you want? You just go to that tree and there's 12 manners of fruits. And notice this, it says, it yielded her fruit every month, not just in the springtime, not just in the fall, every month. Yeah, and it's fresh and there's no seasons, always there. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there's healing in the leaves of the tree. And then we think about heaven, and we think about, you know, here's what I think about when I think about heaven. And I run through my mind because I got so many people that I love that are there. And I think about them and their fellowship there and their rejoicing there. And I see, you know, we could go through and we, even just in the book of Revelation, we see the elders and the we see them falling down around the throne and worshiping God and praising God, constant singing. We see, again, the nations, which is every tongue, every dialect, right? There'll be hillbilly and there'll be city people there. Every different sound of a language we could think of, the believers will be there in the presence of God. Again, I just keep going back to in heaven, but it's New Jerusalem. It's on earth. It's not New Jerusalem. Maybe we could change our minds and understand that when we think about eternity and we talk about heaven, right, that we say, well, it is, in a sense, it is heaven because there's no sin there, right? But the truth is, we always talk about going to heaven forever and we won't be there forever. We're coming back. Going there, we're going to wait there, and then there's going to be a lot of stuff happening. If I die today, I know I got at least 1,000 years in now heaven. But Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What's that place? What is he preparing for us? What is that new earth? You know, when it says there's a new heaven and a new earth, maybe that's already in preparation. And then when we get there, they'll be able to have, scientists that say, look how long it's been around, right? And so we'll see how long that the earth has been there and the new heaven. But we have to be biblical in our thinking, biblical in our teaching. And the Bible is clear. This is so clear as to what it is. That God is preparing for us a wonderful, beautiful place. And this city of New Jerusalem, the holy city it's called here, beautiful. But notice it talked about a street of gold there, a street. And we sing streets. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare what? A place. He didn't say you get a mansion. He said, I'm going to make you a place. So just try to be, and you say, well, Pastor, you're taking the Bible too literal. Let me tell you, if I didn't think we could take it literally, I'd stop teaching it. It says what it says, and it means what it says. Would you stand? Father, we're thankful to be in your house, together with your people in your word. But we want to be biblically appropriate. We want to know what your word says. We want to say, repeat what your word says. And so it's important for us to read it, to see exactly what is in it, to not get our doctrine, though we have great hymns, but to be careful about drawing our doctrine and our teaching from songs that have come out of the imaginations and the hearts of people who have taken those liberties. So Lord, keep us straight in your word, in your heart. Guide our words and our thoughts and our ways. Give us grace as we leave tonight. Bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name.